At this time, I invite you to turn in your Bibles as we look to God's Word this morning. We're looking back at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, and that'll be in your pew Bibles, your own Bibles, I hope you brought. If you are using the Pew Black Bibles, that's page 1167, 1167, as we turn to God's Word. It's on the screen behind me as well. Reading Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, let us hear the word of the Lord, where it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. Put on love which binds them all together in perfect unity." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, this morning we're continuing in this passage. This is like part two. And this passage in Scripture is written by the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3, this letter to the Colossians. When it comes to building godly character, it is essential to remember that your character, my character, will be tested to the limit. It will be tested to the limit, folks, by your ability to get along with one another. So we're kind of going in this direction again because this is what this passage is all about. And this is why we need God and His Word in our life. My prayer this morning is that God's Word will encourage you, but also equip you, especially as it relates to how we live and behave around each other. Do you remember, for instance, when you were younger, one of the first things that you had to learn was to get along? Especially in kindergarten. Do you ever wonder if some people need to go back to kindergarten in that area? Get along with others, whether it's your siblings, whether it's your classmates, whether it's your neighbors, your coworkers. Now, with some, this is easy, even effortless for some most of the time. But for others, the best you could do was just to stay away from them. But that was often too hard, especially if they lived in the same house. The story is told of a little boy sitting on the front steps with his face just cradled into his hands, looking very upset. And his father came home from work and asked him what was wrong, and his sad, sad son looked up and said, "Well, just between us, Dad, I'm having trouble getting along with that wife of yours." It's real. It's real. And there's another story. Gets even better. But a little girl who was forced to eat alone at a small table in the kitchen as part of her discipline for disobeying. And as her parents tried to ignore her, they heard her pray out loud, "Lord, I thank thee for preparing a table for me in the presence of mine enemies." Even better. Even better. Well, I know the things kids say, but I'm sure not just kids have thought and said that. I think most of you would agree that one of the more difficult things in life is learning to get along and to live with those that perhaps might irritate you and make life difficult, and those that do you wrong. Now, how many of you have seen the movie called The Fellowship of the Ring? Maybe some, maybe none. But this is a J.R. Tolkien novel that turned into a movie years ago. But in this film, which is one of my favorites because I love the writings of J.R. Tolkien, in this film, just to give you a little brief synopsis, Frodo Baggins is a hobbit and he inherits a ring of power, which is an instrument of absolute power and evil, and it needs to be destroyed So Frodo, together with a fellowship that includes, well, other hobbits, a human, a dwarf, an elf, a man, a wizard. Anyways, they have to take this one ring on a journey across Middle-earth on their way to Mount Doom. This diverse group not only fights external evils, but also has to deal with internal dissension within the fellowship. And it's caused by the corruption of this one ring of power. And as the fellowship fractures because of, well, selfishness and arrogance, pride, friction, well, the mission's success is compromised, and the mission nearly fails. And it nearly fails if it wasn't for the loyalty, the love and patience of Samwise Gamgee, Frodo's best friend, who is also a hobbit. And he's, at the end, he's like carrying Frodo up and doing the rest of the work for Frodo that he cannot do because they have to get the Ring of Power and throw it into the fire to destroy it. And so there's a lot of similarities in this movie with what we're dealing with today, because if the evil one can get you and I and us annoyed and upset and out of sync with other believers in Jesus Christ in the church, then our mission will be compromised, won't it? And our Christian witness will be damaged, because it goes without saying that having a strong and Jesus-centered, consistent Christian witness and testimony to the public in this world is vital. It's crucial. Listen, the way most people, most unbelievers, what they think about God and what they think about Christ will be based largely on what they see in you. And if we offer a lousy testimony, our Lord's reputation will suffer big time. And what does it say if we can't get along, or if we live a double standard life, or if we gossip about each other, or turn against each other, or fail to forgive and make things right? What does that say about the Christian witness that we are putting on display for the world around us? And so to stay focused on the Lord, you have to get, listen, you have to get yourself off your mind. Hard to do, isn't it? When Jesus calls you to follow him, that means you deny yourself. You take up your cross and you follow him, because your life is not yours anymore, right? So you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to fear, because it's not your life. It's God's. And so do yourself a favor. And I know this is hard, but take yourself off your mind. Think about the Lord. Consider him. There's an old hymn called "Jesus is all the world to me." Do you know it? Maybe you know it. Maybe you don't. But the words of the first verse go like this, and I think they're up on the screen too. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, what? I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. So is Jesus really all the world to you? Could you really sing those words today and mean it as you look at your life, as you consider your relationships? Is Jesus above them all, really? Is Jesus at the center of them all? Would Jesus be pleased with how you are treating that person that you have difficulty with? Or perhaps you're in conflict this morning. Is Jesus pleased with how you are trying to move forward with them? It is paramount to keep Christ at the center of your life. It really is. Keep your focus on loving God and passionately following Jesus, because I know God will supply for you all the love and humility, all the patience and compassion and strength to do it. Now, for the non-Christian, because it's important to kind of talk about this as well, for the non-Christian, there are a lot of options when it comes to how to deal with those difficult people. And for the non-Christian, that ranges from, sure, ignoring them from one end all the way to the extreme in some manner to murder, right? And I was shocked this week about hearing from email and from my own kids about a stabbing at our own high school. I know. And this is never the way you resolve conflict, is it? Never. Right? It's not how you react to people that you just can't get along with. Someone's upset you. You don't like them for whatever reason. This youth decided that violence was going to be how he was going to solve his problems. And it's very sad. And it's very serious, right? No matter where it happens, even in a small town in Ontario. And I hope that, of course, the high school in our community takes this very seriously and that this kid is certainly punished. But he took it too far, and it could have been worse. And fortunately, thankfully, this youth who was stabbed lives, right? Praise God for that. But still, how non-believers will handle difficult people is quite different than believers. And I'm not, of course, I know, as you know, that even Christians can be guilty of crossing the line and committing crimes against other people because they blew it and in their rage and anger did something that they shouldn't. But there are a lot of options for a Christian that can instead range from ignoring that person to actually making them into a friend. Because there's no work that, you know, too hard for God. He could turn that enemy right now into your friend. Why the huge difference, though, in response when you consider how believers in Jesus Christ deal with a situation than a non-believer? Why should there always be a difference in response? Well, because there is a radical change that takes place that occurs when a person turns from their sin and their self-righteousness and places their faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because on that time, when that moment happens, when you give your life over to Jesus, he radically will change your life, doesn't he? And there's, I'm sure, a ton of testimony in this building today. If you could share about how your life has changed since meeting Jesus as it relates to how you deal with people. Before Jesus, I'm sure things weren't great and you didn't deal with them great. But now you can because Jesus changes lives. In the book of Colossians that we're looking at today, Paul has described several of the changes that take place in a person's life when they give their life to Jesus. If you're with me in Colossians, look at chapter 1, verse 13, because this is one thing we learn, okay? Yes, that which was lost has been found. But it says here, of believers, for Christ has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So we're no longer, right? We are no longer under the weight and influence of the world, because when you give your life to Jesus, first of all, you've been rescued, but because of Christ, you now are in the kingdom of the light. Going on to verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so he is redeemed, the believer is redeemed from sin and reconciled with the eternal God so that he might be holy and blameless. And what those two verses explain to us is that we who were dead in our sins were made alive together with Christ, with all of our sins forgiven since they were nailed to the cross with Christ. Praise the Lord. But also in Colossians 3, Paul describes in verses 1 to 2 of chapter 3, he describes the Christian as having died and been raised up with Christ with their new life now hidden in him. And we saw that literally on display this morning in Aaron's baptism, right? Having died to sin, lowered in the waters, being raised up to new life in Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is no longer that Aaron lives, but Christ that lives in Aaron. And if you're a Christian today, that is who you are in Christ. For that reason, our sinful self, the person we used to be, is to be laid aside. For he has died. And we are not to keep dragging, if I would say, that old sinful self, that old corpse, because it is dead, around with us any longer. We are to cease living according to the desires of the flesh, the lusts of the mind, the pride of life. We are to put to death things such as immorality and impurity, evil desires and greed, as well as anger and wrath, slander, abuse of speech. That is no longer who you are. You are now in Christ. We are to no longer walk in the ways and speech and motivations that used to control and characterize us. Instead, as we are seeing in Paul's letter, we are to put on the new man, because we are new creatures in Christ and we are to live now in a manner that pleases the Lord. So ask yourself, does this please the Lord? The way I'm living, the way I'm speaking, the way I'm handling this difficult person in my life today. And it could be somebody even next to you, you live with, you work with. Is the Lord pleased with how you are treating that person? God has chosen to make us holy, praise the Lord, and blameless, not because of anything good that we did, but because he is good. Look at Romans 12, verse 2. It's on the screen, and let's read what it has to say. Do not conform then to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so God has chosen us and he has made us holy. And for this very reason, we pursue transformation by the renewing of our minds so that our new life in Christ may be exhibited in righteous living, godly living, holy living. Now, last week we looked briefly at the list Paul gave us in Colossians 3:12. The five virtues. They were compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I wonder, after a week's been over, right? How did you do with those words? Were you able to put them on? I hope they fit. But if they didn't fit, then you need to do some serious soul searching with the Holy Spirit today. Why aren't they fitting? What's gotten in the way? Paul then continues on to list and discuss two more virtues in the verses that follow, along with encouragement and putting them into practice. And we're going to look at those today. These, again, these various virtues are qualities and characteristics of God, and several of them are specifically listed as being fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. They are divinely empowered. Yes, they are. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot live in them. But they are to be put into practice, so by faith in God. And believing what God says to be true, then you step forward to live in the manner he commands. And he in turn empowers you to do so, and he changes you. So this morning we come to the next two virtues. That is, number one, bearing with each other, and number two, forgiving each other. Let's look at the first one, as we see in Colossians 3, verse 13. Bearing with one another. The word here is also translated as forbear, endure, and suffer. It means to hold oneself up against, to put up with. Okay, can you consider this word that we are instructed with today by God, to bear with one another? It's the idea that can be captured in the image of a man with heavy weights placed on his shoulders and still standing up. Okay, he's putting up with that weight. He's holding oneself up against. Now, Ephesians 4, 2 and 1 Peter 4, verse 8 that are on the screen also carry the same message of instruction for us today in how we are to relate with one another. Be completely humble, Ephesians 4, 2 verse says. Be gentle, be patient, bearing, there's that word, with one another in love. How about 1 Peter 4, verse 8? Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Lead with love, folks. That is how you will be able to resolve conflicts. But God's instruction is clear in these verses as well as in our passage today, and I pray that they will encourage you and equip you today in this area of bearing with one another. Now, I do love the word bear for many reasons, right? Our English dictionary gives it to us in different ways, but for many reasons. But let's just think about it as a way of behaving, okay? Can you do that with me? Think about how this word can somehow make you difficult to be with. You know, the growling, the roughness, the big bad ways. Now, anybody here, for instance, if you don't know what I mean, anybody here not a morning person? It's okay, we can be honest, right? You're not a morning person, okay? Some over here, I think there's some everywhere. Just so you know, if you haven't already figured this out, I know last week I said sometimes you make me nuts and I make you nuts, but sometimes in the morning I could really give you a hard time because I'm not a morning person. I'm not. Sometimes I'm just growling at the kids to get ready for school, and whatever room I'm in the house, it's still not big enough. They're still in the way. I notice them. Don't say preach it. Come to church, yeah. There's a lot of people in this room right now, but it's around almost close to 11, so I do much better. But you know what I mean by people that aren't morning people, right? That kind of brings the bear out of you. But what does it for you, okay? I know there are some people in here that need their coffee or tea, right? And if you miss that, what happens to you? How about bad sleep, traffic? Does that do it for you? Hunger? Yes, I'm sure for many. Certain medications, right? That could do it. If you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, I know for a fact That's what happens. Brings the bear out of you. So listen, we have to, yes, we each have to bear with unbearable people, okay? Hard. They can be people we live with, work with, drive with, go to school with, go to church with. Again, let's focus more on that. There's always people that may do things and say things, again, out of ignorance, perhaps out of immaturity, or because they're having a bad day. Or maybe it's because it's just the way they are. It's kind of just their personality, their quirkiness, just how they roll. But as in any family, and this is a big community of faith, this is a family, it's our obligation to bear with them and to help them, right? A congregation is full of people with a variety of ideas, opinions, and perspectives. It's easy to allow such diversity, and this is a very diverse group, but it is easy to allow such diversity to create division and disunity, especially if you're not being discerning. I threw a lot of D words in there, but I want to put it out again. When you're not being discerning, okay, you can easily allow diversity to create division and disunity. Very true. And it happens, and it's happening. I'm sure in every church in Ontario, to some degree or not. And so we have to be discerning, all right? That discernment comes from God. Because I'll throw in another D word, and that's the devil. Because what does the devil want? He wants more than just division and disunity in this place right now today. He wants destruction. He wants dissension. But discernment comes from God, and it comes from walking with the Spirit. It comes from having Jesus at the center of every relationship. Now, our bearing with one another has a purpose, okay? It does. Our bearing with one another highlights the gospel to each other and to the watching world, to those that are watching. We bear with each other. We forgive each other because Christ has forgiven us. We come together because of Jesus, because it is his name that unites us, and it is his cause that compels us to be salt and light to this world. Right? And we're celebrating today because of the name of Jesus at work in Aaron's life and yours and those around you. That is why we are here. The Holy Spirit unites us because we are believers in Jesus Christ, if that is who you are today, if you've made that decision. And union with Christ is the source of a believer's communion with God and other believers, since all believers are united to one another by virtue of their union with Christ. So really, basically, we are in this together because of the name of Jesus. So when we put on the love of Christ, we bear with one another and we forgive one another. And so bearing with one another means, again, practically, not yelling at that driver that cut you off. It means answering the same question from our kids over and over and over again. It means when your spouse forgets something, you don't hold on to the resentment. It means taking care of loved ones that can't take care of themselves. It means keeping your critical and negative comments to yourself when someone is testing your patience. And that's going to happen. And so we are encouraged, right? Because God is gracious, we have to be gracious to one another. Above all, giving grace to those around you that bother you, upset you, and annoy you is God's calling in your life. And with God, his help, he can do it. Do you know that Jesus doesn't rub our noses in our mistakes? Aren't you so glad he doesn't do that? He doesn't remind you of all your past failures yesterday and the day before and says, see this? This is what you did. He doesn't do that. So why are we? God forgives. He holds his arms out to us and offers a place of acceptance and second chances. His love has covered many sins, mine, yours, hidden and open. And he is asking us to do the same in his name. Instead of thinking about the struggle of having to put up with one another, think about the wonderful opportunity it is to magnify Jesus Christ's love to that person. And if you're working through conflict right now with a brother or a sister or a wife, let me encourage you to start by thinking about the things you love about that person. That's how you start. Don't go into it, oh, this is what you did. This is why I'm upset with you. Go in having already just thought about, wow, this is why I love you. This is what we've been through together. So instead of dwelling on what what person did to hurt you or to cause the conflict, start with thinking about what you love about them, and that will make resolving the conflict that much more easier. We are called to show grace and be graceful to others, and this will come out of your love for God, okay? Bear with one another. Second of all, as Paul said, forgive each other. The full verse says, what does the full verse of 13 say again? If you're with me, it says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And so this is the second and last one we're going to look at today. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Have you been hurt? Have you been offended? I'm sure many of us in here have. And did you know that there is a difference between being hurt and offended? For instance, being hurt, emotional hurt, is something we experience because something, someone has done wrong to us. Whether that was a lie or some type of gossip or a broken promise, someone let you down. And if we're going to be honest here, we would also admit there have been times when we have hurt people for various reasons as well. So emotional hurt is something that we experience because something wrong has been done to us. Now, offense is the result of something done to us. It's something we choose. And this can be a reaction to perhaps a snarky email. Somebody posted something and it really offended you. Something that we discovered we didn't like about a person or a situation, or maybe even something stirring jealousy in us. Now, hurt does happen to us. Being offended, know the difference, is a choice made by us. What's important is how you handle it, right? That hurt, that offense, that person. Let me share with you a wonderful piece of wisdom from Proverbs 19:11. It's on the screen. Let's say it together, would you? A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Okay. Wonderful words of wisdom here. The book of Proverbs, again, it's considered the book of wisdom for a reason. It's from God to us. And chapter 19 in Proverbs is all about building a life of discernment and wisdom. The word glory, for instance, in this verse here is used to refer to a sign of growth and maturity. All right? God considers it a glory for you if you were to overlook an offense. In other words, overlooking a wrong done to oneself is a sign of maturity. It's a sign of grace. Forgiving others is worthy of respect. It is a triumph for us to forgive and to take no notice of injuries and offenses. And that's what this verse is teaching us here. Jesus said that if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. God has forgiven our sins, and for us to forgive others for Christ's sake is a glorious thing, is a triumph. And that's what this wisdom is teaching us in Proverbs. We all need to take the time to sort through what happens when a relationship becomes fractured and then move forward one step at a time with Jesus. The first step, of course, requires laying down the hurt or offense before God. And remember, don't pick it back up again. Just leave it there. Let God deal with it. There are some places of hurt that only God can heal. Never hold on to that hurt. It only leads to resentment, and resentment and bitterness tears you up inside. I've heard it said that resentment is like drinking poison and then hoping that it will harm someone else. Doesn't work that way. But resentment does have an antidote. What is it, folks? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Jesus served as a clear example of forgiveness. Even in the most extreme circumstances, as Jesus hung there on that cross, he said to his executioners, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. When you struggle to forgive someone, would you remember the great gift of God's forgiveness? The forgiveness that Jesus offered on the cross and offers to you as well. Jesus also said, Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So when you're faced with a hurt, you have a choice. You can hold on to it and be destroyed by resentment, or you can live in the freedom of forgiveness. I pray you will choose to forgive today and be merciful. The second step, of course, requires letting go. The first step, lay down that hurt and then let it go. There are some things we need to get over and stop being offended by. And if you're having a hard time in this area, because it is very real, right? It is. It's painful. I would encourage you to seek out Pastor Lionel or myself, someone that can pray with you and counsel you through this. Just even talk about it. Are you someone who longs to experience both spiritual and emotional growth in your life? I hope that's everybody. That's a yes. I do want to experience spiritual growth. I want to grow up in my faith. And if that is you, then you need to apply God's word to your life. Regardless of what God shows you today in his word through these verses, I know that he will give you the strength to do it. So how then do you deal with the people that are difficult in your life, that even do you wrong? As we see in this passage today, well, you put on Jesus. You dress like Jesus. Because what does that verse say again? Consider it with me. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Again, Lord, we are so blessed. We are so blessed by your word and how it equips us and how it encourages us. Lord, your word just has a way of reaching into our hearts, into our spirit like nothing else does in this world. Thank you, Lord, for the direction that it gives us, the guidance that it gives us. And God, I pray that, Lord, you would help each one of us today to apply it to our lives today. Lord, if we're struggling to do this for whatever reason, God, I pray that you would just, by your Spirit, strengthen us, give us the courage, give us the motivation, Lord, whatever it needs that we need to apply your word, Lord, we ask for you to supply it. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the love of family and friends, for those that you put into our lives. We thank you for the opportunity to magnify the love of Jesus each and every day with everyone that you've put in our life. And I know sometimes it's hard and life can be messy in church. Church can be messy, but God, we thank you that you are always there to help us. You pick us up, you clean it up for us as we walk in obedience to you, as we walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.